Blog Talk Radio.
Nobody greater.
Nobody.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. We know there's nobody greater than Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is Evangelist Hannah. Glory be to God. And welcome again to Kingdom Builders International Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Program. Glory to God. And first of all, I'd like to make an announcement. Kingdom Builders International is having prophetic training and activation workshop October the 27th, 28th, and 29th. The 27th and 28th, it will be from 6:30 to 9:30. The 29th, it will be from 9 to 5. The hosting church is the Greater Straightway Full Gospel, 10359 King Drive. Everyone in the body of Christ is not called to be a prophet or a prophetess, but everyone in the body of Christ is. God wants you to know and recognize his voice. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And we're having another training and workshop in the Detroit, Michigan area in November. Glory be to God. You can go to www.kingdomdaughters.org for more information or to register. Hallelujah, Jesus. And tonight we have a guest speaker, a woman of God, full of power and word. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Minister Pamela Craddock, are you on the phone? Are you on
yes,
the line?
Yes, I am. Yes,
glory
I am.
Be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I just thank God for this woman of God. Hallelujah. And how she yet let God use her. So I'm going to say a word of prayer, then I'm going to yield the line over to you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we just thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. We magnify you, glorify you, exalt your name, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. I just pray right now, Father God, that you would just saturate the phone lines, Lord God, and the internet, Lord God, in the blood of Jesus, Lord God. I bind up any distractions, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. I pray right now that a word spoken from the woman of God will pierce the heart of your people, Lord God. I pray right now, God, that you will stir up every gift in the inside of her, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, I thank you that the word of God tonight will go forth, Lord God, unhindered and unchecked by any outside forces, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. Hallelujah. We love you, God. And we'll see you. We thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Woman of God, I yield the line to you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I do thank God for yet another opportunity to share his word with the people of God. I am so thankful and so grateful for God just thought enough, a little old me, to be able to say something that, you know, would touch the lives of many people. I also want to thank Evangelist Hannah for having me yet again on the program. I do thank God for that prayer that went up for me. I just want to add that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, I'm praying that it will be acceptable in God's sight because he is my strength and he is my redeemer. Today I just want to talk a little bit about who is it? How you walk to the door. Scripture is coming today from Revelation, the 3rd chapter and the 19th through the 22nd verse. And I am reading from the New International Version. It says, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I have overcome, came, and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So today, as I said, we want God to add a blessing to the reading of his word and an edification of our souls. Today my title is, Who is it? How are you going to answer the door? When we began to look at this whole book of Revelations, we know that something that means revelation, it means that that thing yet has to be revealed to us. And the author of the book of Revelations is John, and John was the beloved disciple of Jesus Christ. And John was with Peter when they met the man at the gate, and they told the man, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto you. At the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And it is because of this very thing that John had been exiled to the Isle of Patmos, because John refused to stop preaching the word of God. John refused to not announce that Jesus was the promised Messiah. But although John was in exile, one of the things that we need to understand is God still used him. Why? Because John yet still refused here, even on the Isle of Patmos. He refused to not let people know that the only way to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was through Jesus Christ. John preached that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. And if you want to have life eternal, he preached that Jesus was the resurrection and the life. And while he was on this Isle of Patmos, John received a vision from Jesus Christ, and he was told to write down this vision. And when he was told to write it down, it wasn't just for him to write down and hold the vision, but to write down and share it. He then had to send the vision to the seven churches that had been founded in Asia. And what has been recorded has not only helped those seven churches, but it has benefited all Christians throughout history. These visions are recorded in Revelations because, you know what, one of the things that I found about Revelations is that it is the only book in the Bible that promises a blessing to those who listen to its words and do what it says. Now, all the other books have a lot of promises, but this one book said if you listen to what's being said and then you turn around and do what's being said, that there is a promise of a blessing for you. As we look at the first chapter, John speaks of the vision that he had of Christ. He writes that Jesus is the first and Jesus is the last. Jesus is the Alpha and Jesus is the Omega. Jesus is the beginning and Jesus is the ending. But Jesus Christ is yet alive forevermore. Jesus holds the key to death and to hell. Jesus Christ has all power in his hands. Now, that's just the first chapter. When we look then at the second chapter, John writes to four different kinds of churches. The first church he wrote to was a loveless church. This church failed to love God first. The second church he wrote to was the persecuted church, those who would suffer much persecution because they are yet doing what God has told them to do and standing up for Christ's sake. And John then encouraged them, although you're being persecuted for Christ's sake, you are to remain faithful to God in spite of whatever opposition that they were facing. I'm just wondering here, are we going to remain faithful to God when we yet become persecuted? Then the third church that John wrote to was the lenient church. And that church was one who allowed some followers of an idol to come in and be among them. And he let them then just be there, and they weren't supposed to be there. They weren't supposed to mix and mingle and have other religions. They had kind of got away from teaching and preaching what the church had been founded on. And then the fourth church that John wrote to was the compromising church. And even though this church yet did good things, they allowed people to come in and teach some things that were against the commandments of God. These were the four churches that he wrote to in the second chapter. But then in the third chapter, John then writes to three other different kinds of churches. I told you it was seven churches that he wrote to. The first church that he wrote to in the third chapter was the lifeless church. This church had become spiritually dead. It looked alive, and it looked good on the outside, but it was dead and corrupt on the inside. I'm just wondering how many of us out there that's listening on the telephone and even that's listening in on the internet, I'm just wondering how many of us are looking good on the outside, but inside we're dead and corrupt. The second church that John wrote to was the obedient church. This church being tried to do its best to do what it was that God had told them to do. Whatever they thought God wanted, they tried to do it. And it is because of their obedience that God promised to protect them from the time of great tribulation and temptation. And then finally, that seventh church, but it's the third church in the third chapter that John wrote to, was the lukewarm church. Our scripture yet says, to those I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So even right here in just these three, four verses, John is encouraging the church to have a Holy Ghost take over. So as our scripture here, and we're going to focus on that 20th verse where it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, a lot of times when we think of somebody knocking, what's the very first thing we say when somebody knocks at the door? We say, who is it? Now, it really depends on what we're doing, the mood we're in, as to how we answer the door. Usually, if we're in a good mood or if we're expecting somebody, we pleasantly answer the door. You know, we say something like, oh, I've been expecting you, or oh, what a pleasant surprise, and we gladly open the door. However, if we've had a rough day, our kids done got on our nerve, our boss done got on our nerve, we come home to dirty dishes, laundry, our husband done got on the nerve, we usually answer the door with an attitude. What is it now? Who can this be? Just what I need, something else or somebody else to distract me from doing what I need to get done. One of the things that's so disheartening is the many attitudes that people actually encounter from Christians when Jesus is knocking on the door of their hearts. We need to realize and understand that when Jesus knocks, that usually means that he's leading someone to repent. When Jesus knocks, he's leading someone to somebody so that they can be discipled. One of the things as Christians we fail to realize and we fail to remember and we just kind of fail to understand that we were born to reproduce. Yes, we were born to reproduce. Even in the garden, how God had, when the Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden, but when they were in the garden, I'm sorry, when they were in the garden, he told them to be fruitful and multiply. And guess what? We are to have that same command when we have come to Christ. We were born to reproduce. Now, what do you mean we were born to reproduce? If you go over to Matthew, the 28th chapter, and if you start at the 18th verse, it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded of you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the earth. So when he tells us to go and make disciples, that means that some reproduction has to be done. So, yes, we're born to reproduce. And one of the things that we have to remember is when we're out there and we're representing Christ, we have to let the love of God shine from the inside out. As I said, a lot of us look good on the outside, but how are we looking on the inside? So we have to ask ourselves, who is it that's coming our way today? And how are we going to open the door for them? How are we going to receive that person that's on the other side of the door? So when we get to the door and somebody is knocking and somebody is seeking us out, when we ask, who is it? How does our heart answer? Does it answer with an attitude? Do we react unpleasantly? Do we always act nasty? Do people just can't stand to be around us because we have a negative persona, our whole being? I want to know, how are you going to answer that door? When people are knocking on the door, how are we going to see them, receive them? How, when we ask, who is it? Are we answering with contention? How people so scared to even say anything to us because they know the minute that they come to us, we're just going to drop down their throats. How are you going to answer that door today? When we answer the door and when somebody is knocking on that door, when we ask, who is it? What is our heart saying? Is our heart answering with strife? Because we're always causing trouble. When we answer that door and we say, who is it? Are we going to answer with envy? Are we going to always be envious of others because God blessed that person with something and God blessed that person with something and you don't understand, I'm better than that person, I live better than this person, why they got this, why they got that, why I don't have? How are we going to answer? What's our attitude? And the reason why we don't have it is because of our envy. When God blesses somebody else, we ought to be thanking God that God blessed somebody else. The Bible tells us that God has no respect of persons. And a lot of times we need to check ourselves to find out why we aren't in the position to be blessed. When we stop and we stop being envious of the things that God has blessed others with, and we stop and start thanking God for the little things, then God will then start to bless you. When we stop and start thanking God, oh, God, I thank you that I was able to open up my eyes this morning and see. God, I just thank you that I was able to, on my own, without help, lift myself up. God, I thank you because I have my right mind. God, I thank you because when I look all around, I have clothes to wear. I have shoes for my feet, Lord. I have food to eat. When we stop and we start thanking God and we start doing those things and take our focus off of others, because it's always easy to say, I'm better than so-and-so, or I'm better than this person, or I live better than them. But, yeah, it's easy for us to measure ourselves against another human being. Why? Because they are human just like us. But the person we should be measuring our lives and ourselves against is Jesus Christ. When we start trying to measure up to Jesus Christ, we shall fall short. every time. And every time we fall short, that should take away any envy that we have for others, because we know that they're flawed just like we're flawed. But we thank God because of his grace and his mercy that he has yet blessed them. And just like he blessed them, I know he can bless me. So when you open this door, how does your heart answer? Is it going to be answering with difficulty? We just got to be difficult. You know, some Christians, we just have to be difficult about everything. We just cannot make things simple. We just cannot go along with the things we know that's right. Sometimes, yes, we do have to question some things, but we just got to be difficult about everything. And then we try to excuse it and say, oh, I'm just playing devil's advocate. No, you are just being difficult. Are we going to answer this door with the attitude of high-mindedness? We think we're better than others. You know, there are some Christians out there who think they are better than others, and we are all. The Bible tells us no matter how good we are, no matter what good we do, it's all filthy rags in the eyesight of God. So we have nothing to have such a high-minded attitude about. When somebody is coming to the door, how are you going to answer that door? We ought to ask ourselves, who is it that's coming for a little bit of God's love today? How are we going to greet them? Are they met with love and kindness? Are we going to greet them with gentleness, temperance, or patience? Or are they met with contention and attitude? Who is it? Somebody who is hungry. How are we going to greet them? When we ask, who is it? Somebody who is thirsty. How are we going to greet them? What is our heart's intentions going to be when we say, who is it, to someone who is in need of clothing? Who is it? How are we answering the door? We have to stop. We have to think. We have to step back. And we have to remember that when we help those who are in need, Jesus said that we have done it unto him. Jesus, he's knocking on our door every time we sense that we should help someone. Jesus, he's knocking on our heart when we sense that we should share God's love with someone. There are so many people out in the world today that don't feel loved. There are so many people who are out in the world today that are starving for God, for affection, and it's not the right affection. There are so many people who feel loveless. They try this, they're not satisfied. They try alcohol, they're not satisfied. They try drugs, they're not satisfied. They try just being with different groups of people, just hanging out. Well, I'll hang out with the popular group over here. I receive no satisfaction. I'll hang out with this group of people over here. I receive no satisfaction. I'll hang out with this group of people here. I receive no satisfaction. I don't feel love. That's why you have all these people searching and searching and searching and searching, because they don't feel love. And every time that God, Jesus, is knocking on our hearts, we to share God's love, we should take the time to share God's love with people. There are times that Jesus will allow a knocking on your heart to share love with someone who has done you wrong. But because the enemy knows that your heart is for God, that's where the enemy attacks. That's why the Bible tells us that we must carry the shield of faith so that we can avoid those attacks. That shield covers our heart. And there are times when those very people that have done us wrong and have done things to us that we feel we can never, never, never forgive them for, we have to turn around and show those very people God's love. There was a woman I knew. This woman, it didn't matter what people did to her. They would take advantage of her. And yet she showed the love of God. And I heard this person say to me, it doesn't matter what they do to me. You know, I kind of asked and I wanted to know, how could you take this? And in so many words, they said, when they're doing stuff, when people are doing stuff against me, they're not doing it against me. It's that spirit that's in them that they are crying out for God's love, and they're yet doing it to Jesus. So when they're doing it to Jesus, then we have to remember that he hung high on the cross just for you and just for me. And I couldn't quite grasp that and understand that, but later on in my life, when a situation arose and somebody just plain out, just out and out, told me that they were trying to do stuff to hurt me, and then they would turn around and say to me, but you're supposed to be a woman of God, because that you know, sometimes that old man will try to rise up. And when they started saying that to me, I had to remember that they're, whatever they're doing, they're not doing it to me. They still yet need the love of God. They still yet has to be shown that God still sits on the throne. They had to be shown that just like Christ loved me while I was yet a sinner, that God has put love down in me, because he said the greatest of anything that you will ever have is love. If you don't believe me, go over to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. In the 12th chapter, he told us about all the gifts that we had. But then he yet said, but I'm going to show you, at the end of the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said, I'm going to show you a better way. And then that's when he said, if I don't have love in that 13th chapter, I am nothing. So when somebody intentionally told me that they were doing things to hurt me, and then my flesh did start to rise, but God had to remind me, they're not doing it to you, they're doing it to Christ, and you yet have to show love. The people around me, they couldn't understand, why are you being nice to this person? What, the way we know, and they did stuff so everybody could see it, they did stuff so everybody could know it, but then they were like, they couldn't understand, how could you be nice? I could be nice because the Bible commands us to yet show love to others even when they are being unlovable, when they're acting like they don't have love and of God. When they're doing things to you, you still yet have to show the love of God. We have to remember that Jesus, when Jesus is knocking on the doors of our hearts, he then gives us the sense that we should forgive others. That's the very thing. If we walk around, I have never, ever seen so many Christians walking around with grudges, not liking each other, can't standing each other, and all the time want to fight against one another. But the Bible tells us that if we truly want the forgiveness of God, we have to forgive others. And when we forgive others truly, you know, because we say we forgive, but we don't forget. But when we forgive others, I'm not saying that the thing that they have done to us, that, because sometimes it takes us a while, but what we would do is we would pray and we would say, God, help me to forgive them the same way that you have forgiven me. And when we start praying and asking God to do that for us, then, yes, we are able to love those who have despitefully used us. That means they intentionally did it. We also have to remember that Jesus is knocking on the door of our hearts when we have the sense, when our senses kick up, that we should pray for others. That is another key thing, that we have to pray for one another. What they say, more prayer, more power, no prayer, no power. If we want to have truly a Holy Ghost takeover, if we want to have the love of God down in our hearts, then we have to pray. And the first thing we have to pray is, God, fix me. And when we ask God to fix us, we can start praying for others. We are praying that God will bless our enemies. We can start praying that God will bless the people of God. We will then start praying that the lost, the people who don't know Jesus Christ, will come to know them in the pardon of their sins. A lot of times, what we have to realize and understand is that when Jesus is knocking on the door of our hearts, there are times that we, as children of God, we need an attitude adjustment. We have to remember that we are some people who are the only people that represents Christ that these people would see. On our jobs, we are the ones who are representing Christ Jesus, and every day on our jobs, Jesus should show up in us, shining out through us, so that the world can see Jesus. Every day, Jesus should show up in our homes. Every day, Jesus should show up in our churches. How is that going to happen? By praying and asking God to give us that attitude adjustment. We have to realize and understand that when Jesus is knocking on the door of our hearts, we need ourselves to receive God's rebuke. Yes, as Christians. That's why we have the Holy Ghost, because we don't all can follow it. If we were to follow everything that the Spirit tells us to do, the Holy Spirit, I'm sorry, because sometimes some of us do follow what the Spirit say, but that Spirit ain't holy, then we wouldn't have to receive God's rebuke. If we did not need the Holy Spirit to remind us, to discipline us, then God wouldn't have never sent it. He wouldn't have never even given us the words to tell us that quench the Holy Spirit. He wouldn't even tell us that then we should follow after the Spirit and not after the flesh. But because God knows that we live in the flesh, because he knows that the old man will try to creep up, because he knows, like Paul said over in Romans the 7th chapter, every time I want to do right, evil is always present, then he would not have to rebuke us and give us the Holy Spirit and give us discipline. But every time Jesus is knocking on our heart, we got to receive God's rebuke. We got to receive God's discipline. And with his discipline, he's disciplining us because he loves us. Well, every time Jesus is knocking on our heart, there are times sometimes when we as Christians are in need, and I know this right here is one of my things that I have to constantly pray and stay for the Lord for, is sometimes I need help But I'd be in a position that I don't want nobody to help me, you know. And I'm like, no, I don't need help. No, I need some help. And that pride, we allow that pride to get boasted up in us. And then I have the nerve to say, I had got this saying from my good friend, Evangelist Ratliff. She had this saying that says, God is obligated. And a lot of times God is using other people to try to bless us. But I'm sitting up here talking about, oh, no, no, thank you. God is obligated to take care of me. Yeah, he is obligated to take care of us. But a lot of times God is trying to not only do something in you, and I know with me he's trying to break down that pride, but then he's trying to do something in the person that he's trying to use to help you. And we have to remember that when Jesus is knocking on the door of our hearts, we have to receive help from others. Sometimes that we have to go to others and ask others to forgive us, because sometimes we may not say the right things, we may not act the right way, and then sometimes we may be acting the right way, but sometimes the very perception that other people perceive of how we're doing things, how they receive it, the Bible tells us that we should not let our good be evil spoken of. So if somebody is perceiving something the wrong way, we must allow ourselves to go and ask for forgiveness. A lot of times Jesus is knocking on the door of our hearts, and we need to be obedient. The Bible tells us that we shouldn't quench the Spirit. So we need to be obedient to the word of God. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. One of the things that we need to realize and understand, one of the things that we need to do is we need to open the door to a godly lifestyle. Some Christians live any old kind of way. They do any old kind of thing, and the Spirit is telling us, don't act like that. Don't say that. Don't do that. But yet we do it and we stand and then we say, God knows my heart. Yes, God knows our heart. But God also wants us to live a godly lifestyle. Anything, I shouldn't have to go to any Christian who truly loves God and say, this, you can't wear this, you can't do this. I shouldn't have to do that. Because if you truly love God, I'm just a firm believer in this, because I know sometimes what man will try to do, they'll try to impose restrictions on you. But I believe if you truly love God, if you truly pray, if you truly seek God, and this is not saying that God doesn't use others to bring things to our attention. I'm not saying that. So don't take that the wrong way. But I'm saying if you have a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then God will convict your heart. God will not bring condemnation unto you, but God will bring conviction unto you, and he will help you to move towards that godly lifestyle. We have to open the door to give to the building of God's kingdom. That means that, yes, we have to give of our time, we have to give of our talent, and we do have to give of our money. We know that in today's economy comes our heart, but when we give from the heart, we'll be like that widow who put in just the two little pennies, and God yet blessed it because she gave from her heart. We have to make sure and understand that when the Holy Ghost take over, the Holy Ghost will then give us all things that are pertaining to life and godliness. The Bible in 2 Peter, the first chapter and the third verse says, his divine power has given us all things to pertain to life and to holiness, in that fifth verse, if we go on down to the fifth verse, the fifth through the seventh verse, as Christians, and as we have this godly lifestyle, Peter, he encourages us to add to our faith. See, some of us have faith, and that's all we want to have. But God wants us to have more than just faith. But don't forget now, it is impossible to please God without faith. So you need faith. Faith is a key ingredient, but you have to add also to your faith. What do you need to add to your faith? If I was reading the Our Daily Bread today, it was just so on time. It says that when you add to your faith, you have to add virtue. Virtue, then, is fulfilling God's design for a life with moral excellence. You have to add knowledge, studying God's word to gain wisdom to combat those things that are false. When you add to your faith, you also have to add self-control, reverencing God so that we choose godly behavior. We have to add perseverance, having a hopeful attitude that even in difficulties, because we are confident that God will take care of us. We have to add godliness, honoring the Lord in every relationship of our life. Even I have a contractor, and at one point I was just so combative with my contractor, but God showed me that even to my contractor that I have to have godliness in every relationship, not only with my boss, but in even people that come to work for you. You yet have to have a relationship. Everything, you have to honor the Lord, even in the way you talk to people, and in the way you act with other people, even those people that you're paying your money to in the store. Even when the bill collectors call you on the phone, you yet have to have godliness. Yeah, sometimes they'll call, they'll be real nasty, but you yet have to have godliness. Also, brotherly kindness, displaying warm-hearted affection for fellow believers, and then love, sacrificing for the good of others. We have to open the door to pray for the people of God and for those who are lost. We have to open the door to participate in kingdom-building activities. We have to open the door to understand and know that we are all called to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have all been commissioned to spread God's word and to show love to others. Our greatest example was Jesus. Jesus showed us the way to be compassionate and to show love to all of God's children. We must all embrace the kingdom of God. We must all become kingdom builders. When the church get men involved in kingdom building, then the church begin to grow. I'm talking about real men who pray, real men who fast, real men who teach Bible study, real men who lead worship, real men who are positive examples in their homes, on the job, and in the church, real men who are leaders in the community, real men who exhibit the fruits of the Spirit. When men take the lead, when men take the lead, then God, not only does I'm not saying he doesn't do it with women, but I'm saying when men take the lead, then people will begin to notice and see the work of God as never before. We know that women are naturally nurturers, but when men become involved, it draws attention to the work of kingdom building. We have to remember that when you open the door for Jesus to come into the midst of all your endeavors, you will experience the life-changing presence of joy, joy that is unspeakable, joy that goes beyond happiness. Happiness is something that happens because of what actually happened to you. So that's your attitude. But joy, joy is there even when you're not happy. When you open the door for Jesus to come into the midst of all your endeavors, then you will experience the life change. changing presence of the power of love. Things that you can't even describe. You can't even describe why this person, yes, has done you so wrong, but yet you're still nice to them. When you then open and allow Jesus to come into the midst of all your endeavors, that leads to a lasting fulfillment and contentment of peace, peace that passes all understanding, which can only be found in Christ Jesus as you continue in His service. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I just want to know, what is your attitude when you are opening the door and you are receiving other people on the other side of that door? Let us pray. Father God, we do thank you, oh God, for this time. God, we thank you for this message, oh God. God, we ask that you change somebody's life on you. God, I ask even the things that have been said on today, oh God, God, you use them in my life to change me, oh God. Change me to be a willing vessel and allow the Holy Ghost to come in and to take over. God, we thank you for this program. We thank you for all those that are involved with this kingdom building program, oh God. God, we ask that you would even bless this time. Bless Evangelist Hannah, oh God, and all those that work behind the scenes. God, we thank you. We love you. We lift you up. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Glory to God. Woman of God, God truly used you to bring the word forth tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So I want to ask people on the phone line, our internet audience, is God knocking on your heart? Ask you to let him in and call on him. Jesus is your precious Lord and Savior. God knocking on the door of your heart. And all you have to do is repeat after me the prayer of salvation. Hallelujah, Jesus. I know that I have sinned. And right now, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I open the door of my heart and receive you as my Lord and Savior. Take control of my life and help me become the person you want me to be. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross so I can be forgiven. Holy Spirit, I ask you to fill me in the name of Jesus. If you said that prayer, glory to God. Welcome to the body of Christ. The angel is rejoicing. Glory, hallelujah. And you can go to www.kingdomdaughters.org and go to the comment box and let us know. We would love to pray for you. We would love to send you a Bible if you are in need of one. And again, hallelujah, Jesus, welcome to the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord God. Minister Craddock, God really used you to bring forth the word tonight. We're going to open up the lines for comments or prayer requests. If you have noise in your background, can you please mute your phone? Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, we have to continue to show forth the love of Christ in all that we do, no matter how much we are wounded or hurt.
Can you come in? Come in.
Glory to God.
Come in.
Hallelujah.
Oh, no, come in.
Thank you, Lord. If you have no one in your background, please use your phone. Is there anyone on the line that has a comment or prayer request? You may come forth now.
Yes. Yes, my name is Philip. I'm in Detroit. And, oh, my God, I didn't get the lady's number, her name that came forth, but it was straight from the Holy Spirit. And it just, I'm just truly filled. And we know that as we hear the word, it just does something to you, make you want to go a little farther and a little farther. I just praise God for her. And just keep on doing what you're doing. And people are going to come and say, what must I do to be saved? So thank you. Thank you very much.
To God be the glory.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Is anyone else on the line that would like to come forth with a comment or testimony or prayer request?
This is Evangelist Ratliff. And I want to say I truly enjoyed that work. I'm really in the midst of studying for a Bible class on tomorrow, and I had it on listening, so I may not have heard everything because I'm reading and flipping pages of other things, but I believe the message really was talking about how we should act as Christians and our attitude and how we should perceive things, and I enjoyed that because that's where a lot of times Christians struggle, and they don't understand how their attitude really can affect somebody else. And our words and how we treat and how we act is really a reflection of Jesus in us. So we have to portray and act as Jesus would act. And we're not perfect. That's why we are striving for the perfection. And we have to just watch the things we say. And then also something that's important is to keep a repenting heart.
Yeah.
Hello?
Can
you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
And just keep repenting, because a lot of times we may say things we may not know of. So it's good to keep a repenting heart daily. And daily we have to repent of the things for the sins of omission and commission. So I in that area, as Minister Craddock was talking, I definitely can concur with everything she say, because I struggle in that area of sometimes the things that I say. I may think it's right how I'm saying it, but I'm not really thinking. I can't think of how I think it's right. I have to think of that other person. And we know that our tongue can be a deadly weapon. So we definitely have to learn how to control that and be careful. And saints need to stop tearing down each other. We tear each other down so much that it is so bad. That the what's missing is the love of God, the true agape love. We can say we love, but if you don't have agape love, you don't have the love of God.
Amen.
I want to thank God for Minister Craddock. I love her, and she is an awesome speaker, and she really breaks it down to the where you can understand. It's so simplified, and that's what I love. And I'm sorry that I missed the majority of it, but I got in on some of it. But I just thank God. I thank God for Minister Evangelist Hannah and this line and how God is using her, and I love you both.
Amen. We love you too.
God. But we also have to remember, just to bounce back on something Evangelist Ratliff said, that repentance means to turn away from. So, yes, we have to keep a repentant heart, but if you repent unto God for something that you are doing, that means you are turning away from it. You need to choose not to do that anymore. Glory be to God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah, Jesus. You choose to give it to him. But truly, the body of Christ needs to walk in that true agape love. I have been through some challenges in my life concerning forgiveness with people in the church house, with one of my old pastors, but I didn't want to go to church, so he drug me out of the house in my pajamas to go to church, and people didn't understand why I forgave him. I forgave him for me.
Yes.
And for him, but for me.
Right.
So
but
God
you,
can continue to take me higher. I actually told him in the car when we pulled up to the church, even though I didn't go in it, I forgive you. Because I didn't want the devil to get no play. So we have to remember forgiveness. That is so, that was such a good teaching.
Yes.
To open up the doors of your heart and let the Holy Spirit truly lead and guide you. Is there anyone else on the line with a comment or a prayer request?
You know, I just want to say about the forgiveness things. Forgiveness thing is that, you know, a lot of times in that God is teaching us patience.
Mm-hmm.
How, you know, because we have to think about none of us were born being holy. You know, none of us were born with a godly lifestyle. You know, and just like, you know, how this, the how God was just patiently waiting for us to come on, you know, and he forgave us.
Amen.
He forgave us, and even now when we do things, say things, God yet forgives us. But see, what we want to do is we don't want to, you know, like we don't want to think about how long it took God to forgive us, but we want to be like, and I know that's the thing that God really had to work on me, and because of actually seeing and being around people, and I met Evangelist Ratliff at a very troubling time in my life. And that day that I met her, God just used her so much. And I didn't know her, but it was like she was so patient with me. And as she was being patient with me, then God started working out some stuff in me. Because, see, I was the type, you did something to me, or I was going to get you back, and I was going to cut you off. That was in me. And that was in me as a Christian. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
See, some of us think that just because we get saved and sanctified and baptized with the Holy Ghost, that we don't need to be delivered from some things.
Come on.
God has to deliver us from some things. And God had to work that out in me, because that forgiveness is a part of being humble. And a lot of times we don't want to be humble. We be like, I ain't doing that. And I remember actually speaking that out of my mouth to God. I ain't doing that. Well, I got to do this. This person done did this to me. But God was trying to humble me so that he could take me higher. And one of the things that Evangelist Hannah said was so true. When we forgive others, really, it ain't even for them. It's really for us.
Right.
It's
That's
for
right.
our the humbling of our heart. Because a lot of times we people do stuff to us and we holding grudges against them. Those people going on living their life doing everything they want to do, and you still sitting stuck in a state where you mad, you upset, you all puffed up. And they living their life. And you could just ask God to help you to forgive them, and you could be living yours.
Amen.
So don't get me started again now.
That is so true, woman of God. When the word of God says we all was born into sin and iniquity. Yes, glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Right now, woman of God, I just want to cover you in prayer. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, I just plead the blood of Jesus over Minister Craddock tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, I pray right now you restore her, Father, for everything that she poured out for your people, God. I bind up the spirit of retaliation or backlash in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you that no weapon formed against her shall prosper in the mighty name of Jesus, God. I pray right now, God, that you will continue, God, to supply every need for the woman of God in the name of Jesus, God.
God,
I take authority right now, Father God, that the enemy has sent out against the woman of God in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for commissioning your warfare and angels to warfare on her behalf, Lord God, and your destiny angels, Lord God, to take her into her destiny in the name of Jesus, God. I pray right now, Father, that you would take her higher in you, Lord God. You open up her eyes and her spiritual ears even the more, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. I pray right now, God, for restoration and increase in her life, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, God.
Yes.
I pray, amen and hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hey, Cordonie, shut down. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord God. I pray ahead the protection around the woman of God. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen, and glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I thank God for all the ones that have called into the phone line. I thank God for all the internet listeners. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. If you would like to sow a seed into Kingdom Builders, you can go to www.kingdomdaughters.org, or you can also go on there and read about the prophetic training and activation workshop that we're having in October in Chicago, in November in the Detroit, Michigan area. Kingdom Daughters, love you. Jesus, love you. And I thank God for all the listeners on the phone line. And I pray that this word will marinate in your spirits in the name of Jesus.
Yes, God.
I thank God for you again, woman of God. I love you all, and good night.
Good night.